T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
If the world was in fact ending, would you come over? Like, would you come over?
I don't know. I feel like I'd just be like in my room with Lisa and my dogs.
That lyric makes me so uncomfortable.
I know.
World's ending. Like, who exactly is coming over?
Know, unless I was single.
Yeah.
And then I was like looking for one more piece. And then maybe I'd be like.
One more piece, she says.
So the world's ending.
You're so classy at 6:08 a.m. Pacific time.
Who am I? You're
so lucky it's past 9 o'clock on the East Coast right now. So you're classy somewhere.
East Coast people get me. They understand.
They understand.
So it's good that it's.
Well, you're wearing leopard print and a wrap top right now on a Wednesday morning.
First of all, why did they say that we have a business meeting? And in my mind, I was like, I know what I'll wear.
Wait, we have a business meeting?
No, you know, we have to do the thing.
Oh, the thing.
So I said to myself, what makes sense? A leopard sports bra with a mesh tie around.
But you can see the sports bra completely.
Absolutely.
Which reminds me, we're going to be talking about sexual harassment training, which we just did here at Channel Curiously. We'll talk about that later in the show. But for now, no, I've noticed since we were in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico last week, you and I were, and we stayed at different resorts because I couldn't handle that much Michaela on my vacation.
Fair.
But I did see you a couple of times. But I noticed you got your necklace made of your grandmother's name, Vivian. You have a gold-plated necklace made with her name on it.
Yeah.
And I noticed since you've gotten it, your wardrobe has changed because, low-key, you were dressing like trash for a while before we went on vacation.
Right.
Like, you were getting real lazy.
Yeah, I was pretty tired.
The same athleisure wear every day of the week.
I'm going to be honest with you. You were lucky if I even washed it.
Girl, I'm wearing a polo today.
You look
Who
nice,
am I?
Too. And what's nice about us is we always seem to match.
We coordinate our outfits every day. I don't know how it happens.
Don't know how, but I'm here for it.
Yeah.
You look nice, though. Good to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I've not done my hair yet. I've got some product in my bag. I'll do that later.
That little piece. Do you have a little cowlick in the back?
I do.
Okay, it's okay.
It swirls a bit. Right about here.
No, I see it every day.
Do you?
She waves hello to me.
I look like alfalfa a little bit. I don't know if you remember this, but my sister, this is where our show's starting, why not? My sister tells me, I remind her of the Welch's grape juice boy. Remember him when he was little?
No.
We need to pull the audio later. He had a lisp. I think that's probably why it sounded like.
Oh.
But I had a speech impediment growing up, and I had to learn how to talk properly. And every now and then you hear it come out. I get a little lazy. But she said it looked like him. He was the cutest kid ever.
That's so cute.
We'll find that audio for you.
I looked like Punky Brewster when I was little.
Oh, you look like Punky Brewster now.
Yeah. That's who my...
What's her name in real life?
Soleil Moonfry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster and the Welch's Boy.
Wasn't that a cartoon and a TV show, sort of?
I think. I'm not... No,
I think they remade it into a cartoon
maybe.
As well.
Yeah, they did. I think they did.
Do you have the Welch's Grape Juice Boy?
Know what happens when you keep drinking the same thing?
Oh, my God.
The same thing.
Yep.
Your tongue gets kind of bored.
Oh, my God, that's
why
you.
Welch's made white grape classic.
That's my wife. Welch's grape made white grape classic. White grape
wait, this little boy was so cute.
Now, you might have had peaches and cranberries before, but you never had a mix with Welch's.
I don't remember being in that country.
But you never had
Turn that
mixes.
Kid off. I don't remember
He's
being in that
so
country.
Cute.
But I did have blonde hair till I was about 4 or 5.
That's, I've seen photos of you.
All right.
It's a little
Well, we have a great show coming up for you in about 15 minutes from right now. We're discussing what's going to happen to restaurants who've had some outdoor seating during this COVID-19 as fall and winter approach. It's not 75 degrees and sunny year-round everywhere in the country like it is here in Southern California. And one alternative for outdoor seating is getting a little bit of pushback right now, deemed sort of insensitive. We're going to have that discussion in 15 minutes. But first, news on the beat, Michaela Gordon.
All right, guys, I'm obsessed with this story. British composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, 72, posted his remix of WAP to his TikTok account and captioned it Phantom of the Whopra, featuring the man himself. Now, if you're familiar, Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion's new song, WAP, it's so vile that we can't actually even play it on Channel Q.
Can't even play his edition.
But after he posted it on his TikTok, the cat's creator has left the internet screaming and craving death, with one Twitter user writing, "As soon as he started playing, baby, the way I threw my phone, ban TikTok immediately. You should have never had access to the internet to begin with. Who do I need to call?" So if you want a good laugh today, go over to TikTok and look at Andrew Lloyd Webber's.
Well, or stay here because we're funnier.
Yeah,
but
we'll
later,
do that.
In 4 hours, go check that out.
Yeah, do that.
But also, like, I think he's trying to get people to forget about cats. Like,
yeah,
the film.
But he just made it worse.
Kind
of. Phantom of the Whopra.
I love
get
it.
Get out of here. All right. In mysterious news, two Compton men are facing criminal charges of robbing and assaulting three transgender women in Hollywood. Last month, the attack of Eden Estrade, Jasmine Bouzinet, and Jocelyn Allen was captured on video and live streamed. Live as it was happening, while passerbys allegedly laughed at the victims, the assailants, Carlton Alexander Calloway and Davion Anthony Williams, faced between 8 to 13 years in prison if found guilty. And I hope they do, because I saw that live stream and it was awful.
Well, one of them befriended one of the women and then afterwards beat her up and
that's
stole
right.
from her.
It was awful. Yeah. All right, let's do some weather. There's going to be a high of 103 in Vegas today, a high of 109 in Palm Springs, 96 in Houston, 87 in Kansas City with a little fog, and 66 in San Francisco. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Do you just sing San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Were you singing the San Francisco Treat Rice-A-Roni song?
Yeah,
that's what we were going for. Obviously, it's classic. It's their theme song. This vibe today is specific for anybody who maybe doesn't believe in themselves, or they're just kind of questioning or doubting themselves a bit. Personal development is the belief that you're worth the effort, time, and energy needed to develop yourself.
Come on,
vibe. Believe you're worth it first.
You got to believe you're worth it.
And you are.
And you are. All right, you guys. Well, restaurant owners that rely on outdoor dining amid the coronavirus pandemic will soon be facing a new obstacle. Find out what we're talking about and how it could affect you coming up next.
Yes! 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 Oh! Oh! Oh!
So good.
Oh, God. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
Yes!
Yeah, same. I'll have what she's having every single time. That movie, When Harry Met Sally,
oh my
so
God,
iconic.
Do you think that when they were in the writing room and they wrote it, they would realize how iconic it would be? Like, and
but
she,
also,
I mean.
She sells that. But Billy Crystal is one of the icons of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
From that era especially. And to sit there across from that table from her and to be outshined like that by an acting performance. There's got to be one. Yeah.
Let me tell you this. Doing that scene cannot not be awkward. The first audition I ever had that Anna Lynn McCord actually booked.
Wait, really? From Dallas. And from, she was in Dallas and she was on 90210.
Yeah, right.
We've had her on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. She lost her hydro flask here.
Oh, yeah, and then we never found it.
A little behind the scenes info
really
for you.
So I had an audition and I had to have a fake orgasm. And I was like 18, 17. And
okay,
I,
there's a big difference between 18 and 17, Michaela.
No,
which were you?
I think I was 17.
Okay, so that's problematic.
Because I was like,
yeah.
And I went and they were like, go ahead. And I was like,
you really got to commit.
I know. I couldn't. I was too embarrassed. So, but imagine, you know, like imagine having to fake an orgasm in front of an entire camera crew.
Well, oddly enough, this segment has nothing to do with orgasms, but everything to do with restaurants.
Yes!
That was sort of her entry point.
Well,
so,
have what she's having.
Listen, so have you found yourself dining in weird locations recently? Like, I was eating on a curb a few weeks ago with some friends having happy hour at the shrimp place downtown, and we were under a tent tied to a light post with, like, traffic flying by inches from the curb because that's the option right now during COVID-19.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all places in West Hollywood, if they you want them to open, you're having restaurant. I mean, you're having dinner on the sidewalk.
Well, I was at the dentist yesterday, and there's a restaurant in West Hollywood, Connie and Ted's. It's a seafood restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Really delicious. And they changed their entire parking lot into AstroTurf and made it into a whole thing. A lot of restaurants are doing that lately. But here in Southern California, we're kind of in the clear because it stays around 70 degrees. Even in the wintertime, it drops down maybe into the 60s during the day. So we can still eat outdoors. You add a heat lamp, bingo, bango, bongo, everything's fine. For much of the country, though, and in particular in places like Chicago, Illinois,
they
what do you do?
Because
about 3 or 4 weeks from now, it's cold as all get out. Especially as soon as the sun goes down. You go out to dinner at night. It's freezing.
Oh, my God. What do you do?
So what are restaurants going to do? How are they going to survive this winter through this pandemic while you can no longer have outdoor dining?
But also, let's talk about this. Not even only outdoor dining. I walked past my nail salon that I always go to in West Hollywood, and the door was open. And I was like, are you guys open? And she's like, yeah, we finally opened on the patio. Yep. We were able to set it up. So it's not even just
my nail salon is set up in a parking garage.
Yeah.
Which I kind of am confused about because that's also sort
of
indoors.
You're like breathing in the acetone too.
Yes. I was going because it's next to my bank. It's next to my Chase and I'm walking by the other day and there they are. So I don't know. Well, I know that in the state of Illinois, they've just cracked down even harder on restaurants requiring. So right now, many of you might know this. If you've gone to a restaurant outdoors, sat on a sidewalk or a curb or a parking lot, a fire hydrant, wherever you're having dinner, you notice that as soon as you sit down, you're usually able to take off your mask. And then the serving staff and the bussers, they keep theirs on the entire time. But in the state of Illinois now, you have to have it on even after you sit down. Anytime a server approaches the table, you have to put your mask back on and to talk to them.
That's not even feasible.
It's so much work. I know that one of my favorite restaurants are going on Friday and go to the sushi spot. And there's a reason I bring this up, and I'll tell you in a moment. But the sushi spot we go to, they put up I took you there a few weeks back.
Yeah.
You and I went there for
happy
hour.
Yeah, it was amazing.
They put up plastic barriers in between each table, and you sit on the curb. Literally on the curb, mm-hmm. inches away from cars flying by from you. So there's a restaurant, a sushi restaurant, a Michelin restaurant actually in San Francisco. Now you know San Francisco is one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive city
right.
in the entire nation.
Yeah.
And it's also 66 degrees and chilly there all
the time.
I don't understand why people live there. Mm-hmm. However, that's neither here nor there. We love San Francisco. There's one restaurant, though, that is putting out, basically they're calling them their pods. Right?
Okay.
So they're in the mid-market sidewalk, and a very sort of like hit or miss sort of area. There's a lot of homelessness up there, but there's also some really, really nice restaurants. So they're putting out these pods outside, and they're getting a lot of blowback because people are saying, okay, that's really insensitive because homeless people are literally walking by.
Oh, man, that's
and then now
really
you're having
tough.
Because it's $200 per person for a set menu to get sushi. So that's a $500 bill at the end of it all, at least. And homeless people are struggling to find a meal. And yet you see these people, in these they look like igloos, basically. In these pods, having a meal. Is that problematic?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it is problematic. I think that, though, I will give faith in this. I think people have gotten so creative in this pandemic. And I think that they've been able to figure out so much that we didn't know how to do before. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's insensitive. Yeah, to go outside and there's a homeless person, you're eating a $1,000 meal.
Well, the restaurant's called Hashiri, and somehow you just doubled the cost of the meal. Wow, you got really aggressive there for a moment.
Listen, if you have four people.
No, yeah.
You know,
four people,
you go
and you have
a
nice
people.
Bottle of sake. Absolutely, 1,000%. The Michelin restaurant is called Hashiri. But here's the thing. And now the owner was talking about this. He was talking to ABC7, and he was saying, listen, it's really difficult in the best of times. This is a neighborhood that's kind of all over the place. And we need to stay open. We have employees to pay. We have people to feed.
Yeah, no,
and then
I
we have people
it.
Defecating on the street outside of our they're calling them garden igloos.
It's called balance.
But I think a lot more restaurants are going to be hit with this. And this garden igloo idea I think is really creative and interesting. But I think a lot of restaurants are going to be hit with this exact problem moving forward as they try to figure out ways to safely serve their guests, but also be respectful of the neighborhood they're in.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to talk about the story as people get more and more creative. But coming up next, aggressively horny real estate agents are trying to sell apartments as the ideal orgy spot. Mm. And it's definitely safe to say people are confused.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about it coming up next.
I'm so excited. We're going to announce this in a little bit, but the cast of Dancing with the Stars has been announced.
Yes.
You know, big shakeup this year. Tom Bergeron, Aaron Andrews are gone. Tyra Banks is the new host. But the cast is actually kind of banger, and they haven't had a really great cast like this in a while, in my opinion. I like a lot of these people. One of my good friends is on the show, somebody I've worked with many times. And then also, somebody I'm obsessed with who works in real estate here in Los Angeles, Chrishell Hartley, Justin Hartley's former wife. I've been watching. Do you watch Selling Sunset?
Well, we've had Christine Quinn on the show.
Okay, so she's raging bitch all season one, Christine.
Yeah.
Season two, she comes back. She's engaged. I'm sort of falling in love with her.
Oh,
she's so,
so
over
fierce.
The top and amazing. And like, I feel like we'd be best friends or arch enemies. I don't know. But my favorite character is her arch nemesis from season one, Chrishell. Chrishell's on Dancing with the Stars this year, and it got me thinking about this like idea of real estate. Like, what does it take to actually sell real estate? Well,
you know that Chrissy Teigen also, to be fair, tried to call out Selling Sunset, being like, do they even do real estate, or are these,
of course,
are they just bubbly people trying to get a deal?
Well, because when they come back for season two, they act like it's only been a few weeks since season one, when in actuality it was almost 2 years between filming.
Right.
And they're like all coming back to work. I'm like, wait, so you don't actually work here when you're not filming? What's really happening?
Right.
And Chrishell was new season one, but she was the wife of Justin Hartley, and that was sort of her angle in, and she wanted to learn how to be a real estate agent.
Right.
And you can tell some of the girls who've been there for a while who aren't as good on camera are probably the ones who are actually selling real estate, but then they bring in these like bubbly girls. But speaking of real estate, this is really happening. This is happening in New York City. Here's the headline. Ready for this? Aggressively horny estate agent tries to sell apartment as the ideal orgy spot. And it's safe to say people are confused. Now, this went viral on Reddit. And you know New York City. These apartments are tiny. They're shoebox size.
And then you got to pay like $5,000.
Mm-hmm. And they've also seen their highest vacancy rates in 14 years because of COVID-19.
Right.
So real estate agents are getting really, really crafty. And there's one particular I saw. It's called a hide-and-seek adult style, a sexy king-size one-bedroom where you'll find four very large closets in which you can hide from your very, very naughty playmates.
Oh, God.
They're trying to sell these as orgy pads and trying to make that make sense to people.
Well, also,
this is where you can go have sex with groups of your friends.
Yeah.
If you want to escape the reality of COVID-19.
But they also go on to say that you can go in your stadium-sized living room.
Okay.
And I'm thinking in my mind, even like the most amazing places in New York City, a stadium-sized living
room.
What
does that look like?
What does that mean?
10 by 10?
What are you saying?
Well, they call the sexy apartment. They say it's perfect for duddy guests. What does duddy mean?
I don't even know what that means.
D-U-T-T-Y. Justin, let's call him Jason. Justin, will you look that up? And it also says you can take part in communal games. Communal games?
What does that mean?
Coin toss. Ring toss? Oh, that's a coin toss.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Or pin the tail on the donkey, perhaps.
Oh, but it does say, however, be mindful. This was the climax of the listing.
The climax. Wow.
He said in an attempt to swing the apartment's windows, however, be mindful not to let your guests stay passed on, though, else they'll be sure to be beamed at by glaring sunlight. Not good for the walk of shame.
When's the last time you did a walk of shame?
Oh, God, I did a bad walk of shame one time.
Really?
Ooh, it was with a good friend of ours leaving the apartment building that you guys lived in, actually.
Really?
It was that long ago.
Okay, my most recent walk of shame was with your friends the other night. We're in Puerto Vallarta, and all of a sudden we ended up in a pool in a hot tub with a couple of your friends, and yeah, we were cool. We were just hanging out.
Listen.
But we were swimming in our underwear until about 5:30 in the morning, and the walk of shame part came. Not that we did anything that I was shameful of, but when we were leaving, the people working at the front desk, like, we get off the elevator, and
we're like,
so our underwear are wet through our jeans or our shorts, and we're like, hi,
sunlight's up.
How do we get out of here, and how can we get a taxi? I felt like I was doing a walk of shame.
Yeah, you did.
It's been a while.
Well, listen, just make sure that if you're going to do a walk of shame at this place, leave early enough so you're not embarrassed by the beaming sunlight, leaving that stadium living
room.
Listen,
but you got to do what you can. Kudos to real estate agents in New York City.
Yeah, you got to get creative. All right, just coming up, it is Wednesday midweek, and we're doing a check-in coming up next.
All right, so we've been back from vacation for a couple of days now, but what I've learned is that while our souls may have been refreshed, Michaela Gordon, our stories have not.
Because we've already realized
this morning that we both repeat stories so often.
Honestly,
I thought it was just me.
Justin, you need to quiz us. I think we need to have a game where he starts the story and then you have to finish it.
Because
I've said it so many times.
Yeah. She literally started telling me she was reading a story about the Church of Scientology. You just found it online.
Yeah.
She goes, oh my gosh, every year when I perform at the Hollywood Parade, they put, and I'm like, Michaela, you've told me this story. They put you in the building. It's weird. They're creepy. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. However, you're notorious for it too.
I do. My family repeats stories. My uncle, I thought it was an age thing. And maybe it is. I'm 40 now. Who knows? Maybe
it's
it is.
Not.
My mom does it. My grandfather used to do it. My grandmother, I don't know if my grandma did. My uncle does it a lot. When we spend a little bit of time with somebody, you don't notice it. But if you spend a day or two with somebody, you start to hear the repeats, and you and I are together endlessly.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
It's our checking in segment.
Okay, so we'll write that down. Checking
in. We're just being friends right now.
Yeah.
You're my friend.
You're my friend. And it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
How are you feeling now that we're back from vacation? Because I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
Vacation blues are a thing.
Okay, so I warned you about this. I told you the day after you get back, you'll be fine. The second day after you get back, it'll start to set in. By the third day, you're going to be sad.
Okay, so today is our third day.
Today is the sad day.
But yesterday...
It started to set in yesterday, I'm sure.
It did.
Because that's when you realize after the second day, and this is why I don't do this anymore, but after the second day, that's when you start to like do the laundry
and start
to unpack your luggage. I try to do it the first day now. And most of ours was done right away.
Oh, you did it right away?
Because I can't. If I wait 2 days, I'm like, oh, then I'll see a tank top that I wore. I'm like, oh, I remember this. Or there's like sand falling out
That's
of my swim
real.
Trunks. I'm like, oh.
So we had to go to the, and let me just say this. We went to the laundromat because we had so much laundry.
Best thing to do after a vacation, especially if you go to a place where there's sand. Go to a laundromat.
Right.
Yep.
But the laundromat is the bomb. And I forgot. We used to go there when we were little.
You can do like 14 loads of laundry in an hour.
Goodbye. It was amazing. And it's so much less expensive than doing it. Well, because where I live, we can do it at home too.
Yeah.
But they like upped the charges
with
the quarters.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So we went. But then it was. Me and Lisa were like pulling everything out to fold it. And we were like, oh, that was so fun Saturday night when we, whatever. And then I was like, where are we going to go now?
And there's some like cheesy like soap opera or game show network show playing on a TV. Like,
oh, no.
Quietly
girl,
in
playing,
the background.
No, they were playing Stevie Nicks.
What?
Blondie.
Whoa,
oh, we
what one do you go to?
We went to this one.
West Hollywood?
No, it's close to your house.
Oh.
It's closer to you than me.
Huh.
It's so cute. I'll send it to you.
We found one when we got back from Bali, and we went late night because we couldn't fall asleep because of the time difference and the jet lag, and we ended up doing laundry at like midnight.
Oh, I love
it. It's so much fun.
Well, I loved it. So vacation blues, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully by tomorrow I'll start feeling good. Yeah. Or I won't. Nobody knows.
Just cry it out.
Yeah, maybe I will. All right, you guys. Well, coming up in the next hour, our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate, is joining us to talk about Trump and Kenosha and Laura Ingraham. That was a whole mess.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, can we ask about her?
Oh,
let's
yeah.
ask about her. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
she's
talking
in the news
about
again.
It. Coming up next.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we've got our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate of Equality California, talking about some national news, Donald Trump and his Laura Ingraham interview. Part two of it is out.
Wild.
Oh, my gosh. We've got some crazy audio. I have not heard it till just this morning. We've got that for you in 15 minutes, so make sure you stick around for that. Also, Sarah Huckabee Sanders in the news. We're going to ask Samuel Garrett Pate about that. Got a new book coming out and a pretty wild, wild accusation against Donald Trump that is even shocking for me because I'm not a fan of hers. But what she accuses him of doing in this new book she has coming out,
it's wild,
will blow your mind. So you don't want to miss our two-part conversation with Samuel Garrett Pate coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. But first, Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us in News on the Beat?
Okay, so Jacob Blake, who we all know, who was paralyzed after a white police officer, Rustin Chesky, shot him in the back 7 times as his children watched in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. His cousin, Elliot Chaffetz, spoke at a rally about the culture of fear black people are forced to live under due to racism and police brutality. But the only words hateful bigots heard were, "I am trans male." And he started receiving death threats immediately after he started speaking on behalf of the black community. He did address the hate he received. He said, "My instinct when I saw these comments was not doubt for myself, but doubt for the nation.
For humanity, why I don't understand why people are so fearful and so hatred of those who are just want to be loved and accepted.
That's all. I don't understand
at
all.
No different.
At all. So that was devastating. In better news, seems like there is going to be a little responsibility taken in this story. 2 Compton men are facing criminal charges of robbing and assaulting 3 transgender women in Hollywood. Last month, the attack of Eden Estrade, Jasmine Bouzinet, and Jocelyn Allen was captured on video and live streamed live as it was happening while passerbys allegedly laughed at the victims. The assailants, Carlton Alexander Calloway and Davion Anthony Williams, do face between 8 to 13 years in prison if found guilty. What's crazy about that story, when I was watching it, it was literally in Los Angeles, down Hollywood Boulevard. We talk about these
tourists,
things happening
tourists
in Kenosha.
Watching, laughing.
Yes.
As it was being live streamed.
Other cis women saw these women and were laughing at them, taking their baths.
Oftentimes, cis women are just as bad as cis men when it comes to
it's devastating
dealing with the trans community. It's just there's such a lack of heart and compassion that is beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
All right, well, to lift things up a little bit, we all know Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion's WAP. There's been challenges. People are now doing these like explicit dances in front of their grandmas just to see the reaction.
My boyfriend dances nude to the song often in our living room.
But you appreciate it.
I do appreciate
grandmas,
it.
Grandmas, I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
But another person that appreciates the song, British composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, 72, posted his remix of WAP to his TikTok account and captioned it, "Phantom of the Wapra featuring the man himself." And it didn't go over very well. We clearly can't play the song on Channel Q because it's a little too...
There's not even like three or four seconds of it we could play for you.
We try to play like two words and it wouldn't make sense. So if you want to hear it yourself, head on over to TikTok. But the Cats creator did leave the internet screaming and craving death. One user said he should have never had access to the internet to begin with. Who do I need to call?
But also, let's just low-key talk about 2020 real quickly. The collaboration you never thought you needed in your life and never asked for and maybe didn't want and still don't want. Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cardi B.
Come on! Cardi gets it. Like, Cardi somehow is so, like, anointed. Like, everything makes sense for her.
But also, he's my personal icon. You have Stephen Sondheim. You have others. But, like, Andrew Lloyd Webber is who introduced me to theater.
Of course.
My little gay butt when I was in high school, I lived for some Cats.
He introduced so many people to theater.
I used to put a nose and whiskers on my sister and I when she was a little girl. Cats was the first show I ever saw on Broadway before it went off Broadway years ago at the Winter Garden, like 1999. And then we'd get our mom's belts, and we'd get the tie from a robe, and we'd make tails for ourselves, and we would prance around our living room doing full-on choreography.
Let me get to the next
My mom didn't
story.
Know I was gay yet. I was 19.
It was last night. You sent me an Instagram video. All right, well, finishing up, Dancing with the Stars has revealed its full lineup for the 2020 season, featuring contestants such as Carole Baskin of Tiger King.
That's good casting.
And Backstreet Boys member AJ McLean. We're going to announce the full lineup in our What's Poppin', but it will premiere Monday, September 14th on ABC. And one of your really good friends is on the show.
Yeah, and a couple of little gay icons, too. So
yeah.
It's a good cast.
I'm excited to talk about it. All right, you guys. Well, it's going to be a high of 91 in Miami today, 102 in Phoenix, 76 in Seattle, 91 in Atlanta, and 89 in Baltimore. Now give us a Baba Zeta.
Personal development is the belief that you are worth the effort, time, and energy needed to develop yourself. Once you start to believe it, it starts to happen. Who knew?
I love that. Yeah. It's great. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, we're talking with Samuel Garapate, our political expert, about the Laura Ingraham interview where she really challenged Trump, particularly with the political vote question.
Oh, she kind of did.
I thought she kind of did. Well, apparently we differ, so you can just think for yourself when we come back.
Listening to Funny by Zed and Jasmine Thompson right there. What's not funny, the President of the United States, even though he thinks he is just hilarious.
Adorable.
This Laura Ingraham interview is the gift that keeps on giving. And here to help us break it down is our political expert, Samuel Garapate. Sam, take a listen to this first bit of the president describing his job these first 4 years, and I want to get your take.
President, are you still having fun doing this
I'm
job?
Having a good time because we're doing a job like just about nobody else has ever done. And I said it before, I'll say it again, and nobody even challenges me on it. This administration, despite all of the fake Russia, and hoaxes and impeachments, we've done more in this administration than any president in the history of our country.
Nobody challenges him on it, he says.
First of all,
let's see him.
Russia, like he's in the Brady Bunch.
Sam, what do you make of this?
Are we surprised? I've read all these headlines like the president dabbles in conspiracy theories again. Like, okay, it's been 4 years.
Yeah,
that's breaking news.
Of all time.
He literally made up a story about a plane full of he called them thugs.
Yeah.
People in dark. I mean, he said that Joe Biden is controlled by people in dark shadows. I mean, this guy's off his rocker.
You guys know that I really do love reading conspiracy theories. Some things I believe, some things I don't. But Trump is literally saying like some of the craziest stuff.
But people believe it.
But they do believe it, which is why it's dangerous rhetoric, of course. But then you hear this and you're like, Russia, 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 and no one's challenged you. He's still, I guess there's still part of me that he still surprises me.
Yeah, I mean,
speechless.
It's like the president repeats QAnon conspiracy theories. Okay, well, I mean, this is the birther guy.
Okay.
Surprised?
Well, let's get on to something that maybe you do have more of an opinion on then, because he goes on to talk.
I have opinions. I'm just not shocked.
Okay, well, we're going to get into something a little more like actual talk numbers theory then, because he did go on to talk about Democratic governors, college football. He made the case that Joe Biden doesn't know college football. We're not even going to play the audio. It's so absurd. We're going to skip that one because who cares what the president knows about football, to be honest? But he did. Laura Ingraham asked him if he thought he could win the popular vote.
Do you think you can win the popular vote?
It's more than 2016.
The popular vote. People say it's important for you to win it, not because you wouldn't be president, but because it sends a message to the country, and that itself calms down. So conservatives or Republicans in blue states that would kind of be like, oh, it doesn't matter if I vote. What do you tell them tonight?
I think I could win. I think I did win the popular vote in a true sense. I think there was tremendous cheating in California. There was tremendous cheating in New York and other places. And if you take a look at the Libertarian, you know, they always talk about Jill Stein. Jill Stein took, what, 0.5%? They talk about Jill Stein. Well, I have a Libertarian. I'm somewhat Libertarian. I have to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Rand Paul will tell you that. I have a Libertarian candidate on last time that got, what, 4.5% or so? Those are all Republican voters. They're wasting their vote.
Okay, now, Samuel, in all seriousness, we can laugh about this all day long, but he doesn't even need to win the popular vote to win, as we saw in 2016. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to make the mistake 60-some days out right now that we made in 2016 and laugh this guy off.
Yeah.
Could he win the popular vote, and how does he win the presidency?
I think it's unlikely at this point. You know, never say never, but it's unlikely at this point that he will win the popular vote. I think there is a decent chance that he will win the Electoral College, even if he loses the popular vote, just as he did in 2016. And he can make up garbage about cheating in California that never happened all he wants. Now he's added New York as of what they discovered this mm-hmm. in the last few days. No, I mean, he has a chance at winning the presidency again by becoming the first president in history to lose the popular vote twice and win the Electoral College twice. So if anyone's not taking the threat of a Donald Trump re-election seriously, you know, we got 60 days left. It's about time you start taking it seriously, because it could very well happen. No one thought he'd win 4 years ago. And yet here we are, 3.5 years, almost 4 years into the most destructive presidency in modern history. So anyone not taking the threat of Donald Trump's reelection seriously, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, we're at almost 200,000 people dead. Mm-hmm. What more do we need to see to know that this man is going to run our country into the ground like he's run everything else in his life into the ground?
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're with our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate. Now, there's a piece of audio I don't usually agree with the president, but there was something that he did say that I kind of agree with. Let's take a listen.
Beverly Hills, California, that many, many people voted for me, and then I'll see them on television saying bad things. And they say, you know, that person voted for you. A large percentage of people voted for
me. But they're afraid to say so.
Yeah, but they don't want to lose their wealth. You know, they're very, they're greedy people. They don't want to lose their wealth. So they'll talk one way, but they're going to vote another way. And I think I saw one poll, 62% of the people said they were lying about the polls.
Now, I don't know if it's 62%, but I will say that I feel like I've met people who would never outright say they voted for Trump, but to protect their wealth and to protect their, you know, status, they probably did. Do you agree with that?
I mean, are there people who are ashamed of the fact that they voted for the most destructive president in modern history?
But that will vote
for him again November 3rd. Is that a
I think there are certainly less people, right? Because it was a lot easier in 2016 when Donald Trump was a theory versus now when, again, we're pushing 200,000 people dead. We're watching him. I want to take you back to when Barack Obama was running for re-election and Hurricane Sandy hit. And Chris Christie was the Republican governor of New Jersey. And despite any impact it could have had on the reelection race, despite all their personal differences,
he praised
the political
Obama.
Differences, Chris Christie was the person who had given the keynote speech at the 2012 Republican National Convention. And as soon as Hurricane Sandy hit New Jersey, he welcomed Barack Obama and all of his support with open arms. He said, this is not about politics. This is not about our personal disagreements. This is about helping the people of New Jersey. Fast forward 8 years, and you have the president of the United States trying to go to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I mean, he went. But every single local leader was like, please, please don't come here. We don't need this. It is going to make people angrier. It's going to make the situation worse. I mean, that is profound.
But also, Samuel, think about what that did to Chris Christie's career, mm-hmm. though, after 2012. That's where the Republican Party is right now, and Donald Trump is dragging them even further and further down.
But I think my point is that never before have we had, you know, despite political differences, right? Mm-hmm. Republicans hated Barack Obama. They spent 8 years opposing everything that he did, trying to obstruct everything he did.
Yeah.
But when there's an emergency mm-hmm. or a disaster or the killing of an unarmed black, the brutal killing of an unarmed black man shot in the back multiple times, those moments usually transcend politics, but this president is so divisive and destructive.
He didn't even mention him
in Kenosha. People are like, no, please stay away.
Well,
please don't come.
Sam McGarrett-Pate, we want to continue this conversation because Sarah Huckabee Sanders just came out with a crazy story about what Trump told her to do. We'll have that information coming up next.
We're joined again by our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate. We had a conversation a bit ago about this Trump interview on Fox News with Laura Ingraham. If you missed it, we had a lot of great audio. Go download the podcast on the radio.com app and listen to that at your leisure. But Samuel, I want to ask you about these fundraising numbers for August. They are in. I just want to preface this by saying the previous record haul for a single month was in September of 2008. Barack Obama and the DNC raised $193 million. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners how much money Joe Biden and Kamala Harris raised in the month of August?
$300 million,
that's
right?
That's wild. Like, what does that tell you?
It tells me that almost 200,000 people are dead. And people are desperate for a president who is actually going to get serious and have mm-hmm. a plan to end the coronavirus, to not stoke racial tensions in this country, but help heal the nation. I mean, these aren't just talking points. People are desperate for a real serious leader in the White House.
Yeah.
Even people who voted for, you know, going back to our previous conversation, even people who voted for Donald Trump, that was half the message of the DNC, was just, you know, working to give permission to people who made a mistake 4 years ago, right?
Mm.
And say, look, whatever you did in 2016, it's more important that we help defeat him now than that we get all judgmental about how you voted in 2016. So if you are ready to come help defeat this dangerous, horrible president, we will welcome you with open arms.
Mm.
I think that's important that we not shame or judge people who voted that way in 2016, because there's way too much at stake for us to get choosy about who we work with to defeat the most dangerous president in modern history.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're with our political expert, Sam McGarrett-Pate. Now, I want to talk about something that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is talking about. She said that Trump actually told her to go to North Korea and take one for the team after Kim Jong-un winked at her. Now, we know that Trump is capable of saying a lot of really demeaning things about women. But what do you think about this?
I think the weirdest thing about this is she didn't say it as in she was upset by it or she was offended by it or she was hurt by it, as most people would be if someone said that to them. She said it happily in this book. I mean, this book is all about how wonderful Trump was. And, you know, this is not like some disgruntled former employee doing a tell-all. This is like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like, look at my perfect life in the White House. And Donald Trump told me to take one for the team in North Korea. I mean,
it feels like she said that.
Bizarre.
He said the way that he said it was apparently, well, Sarah, that settles it. You're going to North Korea and taking one for the team. Your husband and kids will miss you, but you'll be a hero to your country. To be maybe funny, he said it, but I think that, you know, listen, we're deep in HR right now.
But he says everything.
There are things you cannot
say. He says everything's
funny. Does anyone think that he said that fun? Like,
no.
Like, that's something that I would say to you, and you would know that we were joking, right? Because that's how we talk to one another.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump said that to you, you'd be pretty sure he was serious.
What totally happened is he watched the Fire Festival.
Context matters.
The Fire Festival documentary on Netflix. He watched it, saw the guy who was asked to take one for the team to go get the bottled water. You know what I'm talking about. He thought it was funny, and he actually kind of meant it.
Yeah.
Samuel Garrett-Pate, there's never enough time, but I do want you to tell us about the Equality Awards. They're coming up September 13th at 6 p.m. What do we need to know?
Yeah, so normally, and Michaela has been and spoken at many of our Equality Awards events, but normally we have five different Equality Awards all over California every year, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Palm Springs. This year, because of COVID-19, we have combined all of these awesome celebrations into one big virtual event. We're going to be honoring Pete and Chastin Buttigieg, Disclosure, the Netflix original documentary.
So good.
And we're a I'm telling you, but we haven't even officially announced it yet. We're going to be honoring Norman Lear, the longtime writer, producer of All in the Family. More recently, you know, he's done the reboot of One Day at a Time, featuring Justina Machado and Rita Moreno. Rita is actually going to be presenting him with his award alongside Gloria Estefan. So we've got a really awesome lineup. Melissa Etheridge, Shea Diamond, Betty Who, all performing. It's going to be a really awesome, exciting night. And tickets start at $100. So would definitely urge people to go on and support our really awesome work fighting for LGBTQ civil rights and get to enjoy their evening, as you said, Sunday, September 13th.
And your website where they can get tickets?
You can go to eqca.org.
Perfect.
And there's a link to purchase tickets to the Golden State Equality Awards.
Well, we appreciate you, Samuel Garrett-Pate. I will miss not being with you this year, but so happy we can talk to you every week. Now, coming up in What's Poppin', after 1,200 television episodes, 22 films, and at least 24 plays, this Hollywood elite has become an official billionaire, according to Forbes. Find out who it is and What's Poppin'.
You are listening to The Morning Beat. I want to remind you that if you ever miss any of our conversations, want to take a second listen or share with your friends and family, download the radio.com app. Take us with you as a podcast anywhere you take your mobile device. I know for you and me, Michaela, that means literally everywhere.
Yeah.
We're never without our phones, but we appreciate your support, please, and thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon, my friend, what's popping?
This is amazing. So I love when the Forbes report comes out, because unless it's Kylie Jenner, these people have worked really, really hard to become very wealthy in their success. There's no tea shade of Kylie Jenner.
I'm not on that list.
But I'm neither am I. But some of these people really have never had a helping hand, including this longtime filmmaker at 50 years old. Tyler Perry is officially a billionaire, joining ranks of Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, and George Lucas. Now, the outlet estimates Perry's net worth at $1 billion and says he's earned more than $1.4 billion in pre-tax income since 2005. Now, this isn't a totally big surprise, because we know that from the very beginning, he wanted to make sure that he always made it a point to own everything that he makes, including the entirety of his creative output, which a lot of people, that's where they get themselves in trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched Taylor Swift make sure that she owned her masters and her song. You know, that's, you got to really make sure you own your stuff. But he's also gone on to do 1,200 television episodes, 22 films, at least 24 plays, and he owns a 330-acre studio lot in Atlanta. So it opened last year, a year and a half ago maybe.
And it's coming into use right now, because actually a buddy of mine is filming a Tyler Perry show right now on location there. And they have COVID testing all the time. You live in sort of a bubble. There's a community. There's like apartments there that you can live in so they can keep production going. He's done this really well. Also, the thing about Tyler Perry is that he's so diverse.
Yes.
He was known for his plays first, and then Madea became a series of films. Madea's Family Reunion is still one of my favorite films of all time.
Oh yeah,
Shamar Moore and the braids. Ooh.
Oh my God, that gorgeous.
In my 20s, I was in love with him.
Well, you know, I think also Tyler Perry, no matter what you want to say, has been good to the LGBTQ community and the black community.
Well, my friend is a queer black man.
Yeah.
And he's working on his first show.
I
so,
love
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So it's really important. Congratulations. That's amazing. Now, coming up in our next hour, a wedding announcement goes viral after a groom's ex publicly reveals he cheated. You won't believe this story, and we'll talk about it coming up next.
We've got a doozy of a conversation coming up in 15 minutes. Yes, I did say the word doozy. It's the best
you
way to describe.
You love doozy. You love bingo, bango,
yo,
bongo.
Listen, I'm from Ohio.
You got some words,
honey. It is what it is.
Listen, I can't say anything. I can't even pronounce words, but you definitely have your own.
Speaking of Ohio, you know we're on the air in Cleveland. Yeah,
hey,
that's happening.
I'm so excited. What's up, Cleveland? What do they call it? The Clee?
The Clee.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're called, the Clee. LeBron's
yes.
original home. Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there, though. But in 15 minutes from right now, we have a great conversation about this story. It's gone viral out of New York. This couple was married. They got divorced. And then the woman found out as the divorce was happening, or mm-mm. right after the divorce happened, that her husband was remarried. It was in the New York Times. And he claimed to have never been married before, said he was happier. And she's like, oh, now it all makes sense.
Lord.
But the way she gets revenge is priceless and so 2020. We're going to share that story with you in 15 minutes. So make sure you stick around for that. If you've ever been in a relationship and been cheated on or just want to get revenge on somebody, we've got some tips for you.
Oh, we got your back.
We're going to follow this woman's lead.
And I am petty.
You are petty.
I'm really petty.
I'm not that petty.
Oh,
no. I'm shady. I'm not that petty.
No, I'm not shady, but I'm petty.
I'm shady.
All right, well, we make a good balance for our listeners.
I think it's fun shade. Like lemonade under like a willow tree shade in the summertime.
But then people are like bawling hysterically, and you're like, oh, I guess I went too far now.
And I'm the only one laughing?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I'm really sharp with my words. I've worked on it in recent years. I used to be really bad.
Yeah.
I was on a reality show back in 2011 on ABC called Expedition Impossible. And let me set the scene quickly for you. I was with my ex, who you know, we used to work for him, and you know my sister.
Yeah, of course.
And so my ex had just cheated on me with my best friend a month before the show, but we had already agreed to do the show, and it was our chance to be on TV on a major network on ABC, Mark Burnett. I didn't want to lose the opportunity, so we decided to still go ahead and work on the show together. And my little sister, who was just, she was like a bikini model at the time.
Oh, she was like Sports Illustrated
all day. She was
gorgeous,
but like also like didn't have it together. And I had to go live in the wild for a month in Morocco with these two. And let me tell you, watching that back now, I couldn't even watch it.
Can you believe you're still alive?
The way that I went off on them and the way that I was so mean and just like not, I had every answer and didn't want to hear. To be fair, I was usually right. But
my tone. It's all about tone.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Right.
I've grown.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I want to congratulate you ahead of time on this fantastic news on the beat that you're about to present us with. I just know that's how good you are.
Thank
you. I have faith in you.
Is this sarcasm or is this?
It might be shade.
You know what? You're
a little
shading.
Bit of shade. It might be a little bit of shade.
All right. Well, listen. Jacob Blake, as you know, who was left paralyzed after a white police officer, Rustin Chesky, shot him in the back 7 times as his children watched in Kenosha, Wisconsin. His cousin, Elliot Chaffetz, spoke at a rally about the culture of fear black people are forced to live under due to racism and police brutality. But the only words hateful bigots heard were, "I am a trans man." After the live stream went viral, he was tainted by transphobic comments and even death threats. It got really bad for him. He did address the hate he received. He said, "My instinct when I saw these comments was not doubt for myself, but doubt for the nation."
Imagine your cousin is fighting for his life. He's paralyzed now. It's caused this uproar globally.
Yeah.
And you go to share your truth and share your heart, and you get death threats for being a trans black man.
I mean, but you know, a lot of people are trying to share all Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally got finished on one of the streets here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And even then, there have been people that are like, why does it have to be all Black Lives? Because Black Lives isn't enough. All trans Black Lives Matter
I think there's a miscommunication with that messaging. Some people feel that is too close to All Lives Matter, and they don't understand the necessity. For you and I and people in the community who are aware of the trans community and aware of the fight for equality, we get it. I think some people don't get it yet.
It's okay. Well, then you can just listen to Channel Q and we'll explain the importance of it.
All day, every day.
Every day. All right, another news. Another fatal police shooting of a black man has drawn protests in Los Angeles. LA County Sheriff's deputies fatally shot 29-year-old Dijon Kizzy during a confrontation Monday afternoon in South LA. Kizzy's family is calling for the officers involved in the shooting to be publicly named and arrested. In Portland, Oregon, where protests have been going on for 96 straight nights, Mayor Ted Wheeler has called on the community to end the senseless violence. As you can see, BLM is not going anywhere.
Yeah, so let's make some changes.
Let's make those changes. All right, in other news, big fun news. We'll be talking about it and what's popping coming up. This hour, Dancing with the Stars has revealed its full lineup for the 2020 season, featuring contestants such as Carol Baskin of Tiger King fame. Remember when we had the whole Tiger King cast on?
Well, it was smart for her to do this before she gets arrested for feeding her ex-husband to the Tigers.
Totally, because she is going to go to prison. Backstreet Boys member AJ McLean and so many more. The new season does premiere on Monday, September 14th on ABC, but we'll give you all the details and all the celebrities and what's happening.
Today before my anniversary.
It's your September anniversary.
September 15th is our anniversary.
Is it?
Uh-huh. My parents is September 14th, actually.
I love that. Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 89 in Baltimore today, a high of 78 in Buffalo, 84 in Chicago, 78 in Cleveland, another 84 in St. Louis, and 80 in Pittsburgh. We're in the 80s.
Look at you throwing Cleveland in there already.
Ooh, the Clee, baby.
We're on the air in the Clee.
Now, give us a vibe.
I will do that. Personal development is the belief that you are worth the effort, time, and energy needed to develop yourself.
I love that.
It's perfect. You are worth all of that, people.
You are worth it. Now, coming up, a wedding announcement goes viral after the groom's ex publicly reveals he cheated on her when he met the bride. What a way to find out. We're talking about it coming up next.
So imagine this. You open up the newspaper, a small town paper, something like the New York Times, maybe.
Yeah.
And you're reading. You get to the wedding section. You've just recently gone through a divorce, which is already heartbreaking enough.
Yeah, devastating. Just going about your day. I wouldn't even go into the wedding part.
Yeah, no way. But say you do. And having your morning coffee, and you're reading, and all of a sudden you see your ex-husband's name. And he's now...
Honey, you better be in the mortuary side and not in the wedding side.
Married again. You just got married or divorced months ago. He's married again. And the article says that's his first marriage.
Ma'am?
And he says he's never been happier in his entire life. He's never known a love like this.
Oh, yeah. He's about to be on the death side after I'm done.
What do you do? How do you respond to that?
I would ruin his life.
How?
I would absolutely. I don't know, but I'm Italian and I'd figure it out.
Well, Nikita Moreno, which is the most awesome name ever, she went through exactly this. And she decided to take matters into her own hands. So the article about Rob, her ex-husband, and his new wife, Lauren... How they started the relationship in January, she's like, wait, I was his wife in January. So she starts adding up the numbers and realizes, oh, he was cheating on me. They were actually together until March and not divorced until January of the next year. So for at least a whole year, she got...
Oh, my God.
So apparently when things started to get weird in their relationship and they were headed towards divorce, she's like, I always knew there was something more, but he wouldn't admit to anything. He wouldn't talk about it. He just said that it's time to move on. That was it.
So he went to her.
Yes. And then
and
a year.
And was just like, hey, everything's good, but I just want to leave you.
Yep. Months after their divorce, she finds out he's already remarried and has been with this woman for at least a year prior. They were only married for like 2 or 3 years total, by the way. So to a whole year of
First
that he was
of
cheating.
All, how do you not know that he's been cheating for a year?
Well, so here's what happens, though.
I'm so nosy with Lisa, I would know.
Well, she decided to take matters into her own hands and did a little bit of a follow-up that went viral on, was it Reddit? I think it was on Reddit.
New York Post.
New York Post. Oh, the New York Post. She's like, well, listen, this is a funny little twist to this story, y'all, if you happen to notice this. And people are standing behind her left and right and dragging
this
ex-husband of hers. That's petty, but also low-key, like, I would do it.
I would. What do you mean? He literally says, in the quote, the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, this is the most meaningful, deep connection I've ever had.
Okay, so here.
He's not talking about his ex-wife. He's talking about the new wife.
That's so shady.
That's not only shady. I would be not only so angry, but more inconsolable. Like, thinking I'm already upset my ex-husband left me.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, talking about this other woman.
Here's when it comes to relationships. I've had enough of them over the years. I'm 40 years old. I've had a lot of relationships, and many of them that have lasted 2 to 3 years or more. I'm a serial monogamist,
yeah, same.
Right?
Yeah,
And so I and my boyfriend and I have this conversation. We actually just had it last night watching an episode of Selling Sunset. So one of the girls on there, she's trying to look for a venue for her wedding, and her ex-boyfriend is also her boss. They're really great friends, been friends for years. Mary is her name. And he offers his house, his estate, for their wedding venue. And see, I was like, oh, that's really sweet of him. And Emil's like, no way on earth would we get married at your ex's place. I'm like, I'm friends with all my exes, though, because I'm the type of person.
That's like the movie Meet the Fockers when totally. The ex makes yes. the beautiful wooden thing they're going to get married under.
Okay, but also, I'm the type that I have good memories of every relationship I've ever had. That doesn't mean they were the right relationship. They all ended pretty badly.
But that's like such a mature way of thinking. I'm so immature in that
really?
Sense. I'm like, what? It's over. Get away from me.
Well, I think it's possible to think that that was a great season of his life, but this is the love of his life. But who knows where
okay,
he'll be 5 years from now.
Because here's why. After it goes viral and people are like cheering for Nikita, obviously Robert sees it. So he responds.
Oh, God.
And he says, Nikita and I were separated and both consented to a mutual and amicable divorce. This is all very surprising to me, and I was unaware that there was ever an issue. I'm happy with my family, and I wish Nikita the best. If that's not the nail in his coffin.
I'm happy with my family.
He said that she knew. Do not try to play that psychological stuff
with
me.
That gaslighting sort of making her look like she's a crazy ex who just can't get over you.
She knew, and she's like, definitely did not know, had no idea.
Well, why would she go do this follow-up if she actually did know? Why would she care?
And also, what is the new wife, Lauren, thinking? Like, is this a lot of drama for Lauren? Now let's be her for a second.
Well, I don't care about her because here's the thing. Assuming that she knew that he was in a marriage, which you have to think that she did. You don't just all of a sudden cheat on your wife without the new person at least knowing something's going on. Like, why can't you spend the night with me?
I don't know. I've seen relationships where he's like, I have to travel 3 days a week in the city, but I can come stay with you 4 days.
Nah, don't buy it. I travel all the time when we're on a pandemic.
Well,
and
you're
my
not
partner,
a cheater.
My partner knows where I am all the time. He can track my phone. He can see where I am. I FaceTime him.
Do you have share location on your phone?
I don't know, but he has all my passwords to everything. He can read everything I've ever talked to anybody about anywhere.
I have on my phone with Lisa. Lisa doesn't ask for this, but I just like to do it because I'm 5'2 and I have a big mouth, and it's probably better. She just always knows where I am.
So she can come rescue you and save you from yourself.
I always need her to come rescue me. So we have share location on our phone, so she always knows.
Wait, she knows where you are. Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah, you can do share location.
Do you and Lauren have that, Justin?
We do.
Wait, what? No, that's creepy and weird to me.
Not for me.
Lauren was the one that brought it up in our relationship, and I was a little apprehensive at first. But
yeah,
you know,
it's weird. That's like a low jack.
It makes her feel more comfortable because I travel early in the morning, so
got
to work.
That's just a cover. No way. Mm. Although, to be fair, my partner, his literally would just be creation juice. He'd be go there getting acai bowls all the time and the gym. Those are the two places he travels to.
Well, for me,
Maybe I'm naive.
For me, I think that she didn't ask for this, but I, when she leaves town, you know, I'm like hardly able to take care of myself. Nah. I could end up anywhere.
You're highly inept.
Kind of.
On your best day.
So then, if I get a few cocktails in me and I'm walking around West Hollywood, you got to know where
also,
I'm at.
Also, she's like, why is
me.
She walking down the middle of Robertson Boulevard right now? What is she doing? Why is she in the intersection and she's not moving? She's either dead or dancing and waving at traffic.
You never know with
usually
me. And
the
that's
latter.
Also fair, too.
Wow.
Well, listen, I'm glad that Nikita got the revenge she deserved.
I hope she finds a man now.
I do, too.
Or a woman, whatever it is she's looking for at this stage in her life.
Well, maybe we can get in touch with her and set her up on a blind date.
We should probably stay out of her life.
I would like to do that.
I know you would.
Okay, coming up, none of us love to maybe clean up necessarily, but making your bed may be good for more than just your room appearance. It could be in bed. We're talking details coming up next.
On average, how many days a week do you make your bed when you get up in the morning?
Well, that's not a fair question because I wake up earlier than my partner.
Okay.
So then
on
she makes
average,
the bed.
How many days a week does somebody make the bed when they're the last one up?
7.
Really? Lisa does every day.
Yeah, because you know why? I can't sleep in a bed that's not made, and neither can she. Like, I don't know what it is in my brain. I can't go to sleep if it's not already been. I'll literally make my entire bed just to get back into it.
So, just so you know, you should be having a lot of sex then, according to the study.
Well.
So there's a study that was done that says that nearly 4 in 10 Americans said it would be a total turnoff to date somebody who doesn't make their bed. 2,000 Americans were surveyed in this study, saying that 25% of those people who do make their beds every day, they're having 25% more sex than anybody else, is basically what the survey is saying. In fact, 61% of non-bed makers said, but on the other hand, said an unmade bed wouldn't be a deal breaker. So what this tells me is that people who make their beds like other people who make their beds.
Yeah.
And if that is happening and you're both lining up that way, you're having more sex.
Yeah.
But if you don't make your bed, you don't care if other people don't make their bed. However, you're probably not having as much sex.
Do you like to sleep in an unmade bed?
So I'm interesting because I will tell you this. My partner, I get up first. You know, we both get up before all of America. And it feels like. And the only person getting up before us is Justin, our producer, who's here in the morning before we are. I will say that I love, and my partner and I, every few months, we're like, hey, let's work on making the bed again and keeping the room clean again. Because it's starting to get out of hand.
So
we go through it, and then we do it for a while, and we're so happy. It's so nice because we have really gorgeous like throw pillows, and our bed is really pretty when it's made. But, I mean, it's really sexy and masculine. No, it's kind of pretty. So we do enjoy it, but we don't do it. And there's some times where I'm like, hey, can you just start making the bed again?
Well, see, for me, the bed, when the bed's made, I would love a clean room. But let's be honest, we are two women. We have so much crap. And we're not like women who don't have a lot of stuff. Like, we love all the same things. Like, even though she's Zaddy Lisa, she's got all the moisturizers.
And you have a bungalow that's not huge.
Yeah, we have
a
little bungalow.
Of stuff there. You have a lot of shoes.
So, gowns,
eyelashes.
All
I mean,
of
it takes up a lot of space.
So I just have to have the bed made and then, like, I feel like the whole house feels clean.
Yeah.
And then I'm good with that.
Well, I can't go to sleep in an unmade bed. So what I do is I make the bed before we get into it at night, which is so counterproductive.
No, because, I know. I've done
it too. But I can't do it in the morning. I get up and he's still in bed for 2 hours after I leave. So I can't make it in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not.
What, Justin?
Well, what you could do is you can make the half of the bed.
No, that's weird. No. Because here's the thing.
I sleep with all the sheets and blankies.
The moment I roll out of bed in the morning, he rolls over to my side of the bed.
Yeah.
And he sleeps on my pillow because he misses me.
But
which
also
is really sweet. And also, I don't know.
That's a lot. Well, for me, that would never work because when Lisa always laughs because I'm very, like, I'm a compact woman, but I take up the entire bed. If she doesn't come to bed before I've fallen asleep, the bed is taken over. The two dogs are on my
side. Honey, I'm 6'5 and a half. We have a queen size bed. We don't even have a king size bed. We have a queen size bed.
Do?
I'm
6'5
and a half, and my partner's 6'3. That's a lot of man.
And a queen bed.
Let me repeat. That's a lot of man. Go ahead and make a visual. It's okay. I don't mind. However, follow us on social media. But no, I should make the bed in the morning. Even on the weekends, though, we wake up and like I maybe do it one day out of the weekend.
Yeah, but I think it's just like an OCD thing. I think you either a person that wakes up and makes the bed because it makes you feel better, or you just don't.
Well, 30% of non-bed makers, and this could lead to the non-sex thing, 30% of non-bed makers reported a decrease in sleep quality. That's very true. Because and the thing is, if you're not sleeping well, you're also not making whoopee. You're not making your bed, we're not making whoopee. And if I don't sleep well, I'm tired and cranky the whole entire day.
Well, and also Lisa, now I'm not this good. Lisa does our sheets like every 2 to 3 weeks.
Totally.
But a lot of people actually don't.
Oh, my partner never thinks about it.
I didn't before I met Lisa. And then she was like, it's time to clean the sheets. I was like, we just clean the sheets.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's time to do it again.
Yeah.
But then when the bed smells like downy and it's so cozy, then you're feeling like sexy. It's a
surprise.
This is
a downy ad, you guys. Surprise. You had no idea how good. We just integrated that into
there. This is going back to the laundromat yesterday.
It's all part of our show.
I knew it was happening.
Talking about a lot of laundry today.
I did a lot of shaking.
Dirty laundry from the couple in the New York Times.
Ooh, yeah.
And your own dirty laundry because you don't think you need to wash your sheets very often, which is kind of weird to me. Do you have backups, though, at least?
Oh, I mean, I don't. Lisa does.
Does she iron them before she puts them on the bed?
No, she doesn't. So, iron them.
I like my bed to look like a hotel bed. So I always, always at minimum iron the pillowcases. And then
I iron
at least the top of the flat sheet so it looks nice, but the rest of it can be wrinkly. But it has to be tucked in. I have to feel like I'm in a burrito when I sleep.
But you're going
to
wrinkle it anyway.
You don't know what I do in my bed.
Honestly, yes, I do.
I lay there.
You're 6'5", Emil's 6'3". Y'all are not keeping it.
Again, a lot of man.
Okay, that's a
we
lot
should
of
wrap
man.
Up there.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Carol Baskin is back in the news. She is one of the stars in Dancing with the Stars, but we're going to give you the full lineup coming up next.
You are listening to the new Channel Q. We appreciate you tuning in to the Morning Beat this morning. And always, if you missed anything, head over to the radio.com app on your mobile device. Download it. You can listen to our show anywhere you go, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We've had some really great conversations. Feel free to share with your friends and family. Please and thank you.
Yeah.
Just to give you a taste of how great our show is.
Yeah, we also play some great music. That was Madonna's Ray of Light. Let me tell you something.
That wasn't the end of my,
I'm sorry,
of my tease. This is me telling a first-time listener right now that they should tune in always because we're so professional. So
all right, go ahead. Try
thanks
it again.
For that, Michaela
take two,
Gordon.
Take two. We're doing it live.
Just do
we're doing it live.
Just do what's popping. This is the segment where Michaela tells you about pop culture stories. What is, in fact, popping, Michaela? Go ahead.
No, we'll do it live.
You're up. Nope. Bill
do
O'Reilly.
It live.
Bill
do O'Reilly. It live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Bill O'Reilly, get
Justin,
out of the studio.
You better just break my heart. That was the best thing you've ever done, Justin, our producer. All right, so here it is being revealed, Dancing with the Stars. Why are we playing Backstreet Boys?
AJ McLean. There he is.
He is part of Dancing with the Stars. It premieres Monday, September 14th.
The other AJ.
The other AJ, but not the one that matters most. and there's Carol Baskin of Tiger King, also making her way. We have not seen her since people have been attacking her about literally killing her own husband.
Totally fed him to a tiger.
But absolutely
for
did.
Sure, yeah.
Definitely happened. there's also going to be from Cheer, Monica Aldama. Now, we had
Lexi
Brumbaugh. From Cheer.
We loved Lexi Brumbaugh when she came on, so her coach will be on. I was going to say Leslie from Reason, and I was like,
I think I called her Lexi Brumbaugh, so I don't know. Whatever. Lexi. She tumbles well.
We've also got Johnny Weir.
For Johnny Weir.
You know he's going to kill it. I think being an Olympic figure skater is going to give him sort of the edge.
Christy Yamaguchi won once.
Yeah. Well, I think she's amazing. And then one of your really good friends,
Adam Rippon won?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, we've had him on the show,
but
too.
But did he win, though?
Yeah, he won.
Wow.
He won. There's going to be host Jeannie Mai of The Real, your friend.
I've hosted many red carpets with her at the Golden Globes over the years.
Do you
She's
know
fantastic.
That she doesn't know my first name, but she knows that I'm Melania.
Melania. Well,
that's all she...
Well, you're famous.
That's it. That's all she cares
about. My boyfriend works with her on The Real.
Yeah, she's amazing, though. Nev from Catfish, he's going to also be competing.
Girl, his name is Neve. You're always so close. I've really just told all of our first-time listeners that this is going to be so stupendous,
listen,
and here we are.
Listen,
I don't know how I feel about Tyra Banks, the host, just yet, because Tom Bergeron is my personal idol. But I am excited about Chrishell Stouse from Selling Sunset.
Yeah, I am.
She was married to Justin Hartley.
You
She's
know,
on there.
Funny to go back to Tyra really quick. I worked for Tyra. She was the first person ever hiring me as a host.
That's right.
And I will say this. I loved her. But I sort of wish that if you're going to start hiring new talent, like, or you want more diversity, like, let's just do it then. Like, hire...
Give somebody new a shot.
Yeah. Kind of, because she's been doing it for a long time.
We're available. We're off work by 10 or 11 in the morning,
like,
so...
Yeah, I didn't want to be rude, but, like if you guys are looking for...
It is what it is.
We can also dance when needed. Like, not very good, but I can. Like, we can TikTok.
Who else is on there?
There's going to
is
be
it Nelly
Charles
on there?
Oakley from the NBA.
Okay.
That's a big deal
Vernon
for you.
Davis.
Yeah, Vernon Davis.
From the, not the NBA, NFL.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Caitlin Bristow from Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And Sky Jackson from the Disney Channel.
But isn't Anne Heche?
Anne Heche,
also,
yes.
Also, Ellen's ex. I wonder if they'll ask her about Ellen.
I bet they will, and I bet you she'll give an answer.
Tyra will ask.
Yeah, well.
That's what I do like about Tyra. She'll ask the questions.
Yeah, she's not afraid.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, well, coming up in our next hour, this is breaking news. Rihanna recently went on a podcast with Oprah, and she spilled a lot of tea about where her and Chris Brown still stand after the domestic abuse case so many years ago. We'll have that story for you coming up.
Hey, that's us. Those are our names.
Hey, I know those guys.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We have a fantastic final hour coming up for you. In about 15 minutes from right now, we're talking HR. How much fun? No, we're not doing HR anymore?
No, that's tomorrow, babe.
Oh, we're doing HR.
We're sharing tomorrow because we got some breaking news.
We moved it because we have some news on Rihanna and the podcast with Oprah.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you tell this is live? Did I just lateral tease to tomorrow?
Yeah, you did. You didn't even know it, but you did.
Well, tune in tomorrow because we're talking awkward HR videos. We have some really fun audio for you. But there is breaking news. We just saw a moment ago. You caught on the TV.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's, you know, we haven't really heard from Rihanna and her feelings about Chris Brown in a while, and that was a huge story. Well, they were a celebrity couple that we
11 years ago that went down, mm-hmm. and she opens up to Oprah Winfrey, and the audio is kind of shocking.
It's heartbreaking, too.
Yeah, so we're going to share that with you in about 15 minutes. But tune in tomorrow where we have this awkward HR conversation. That's going to be a fun one, too.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I just did my training, my sexual harassment training. I tell you what, these videos, whew, they haven't gotten better over the years either. They're still terrible.
But do you watch it and you're like, oh my God, I'm sort of like inappropriate a lot.
Yeah, no. A lot of these are really like no-brainers. But also, I've worked in like gay bars for a lot of my life.
That's
and as
what
a personal
I'm saying,
trainer,
though,
so like low-key.
As
like,
somebody who hasn't always had to deal with HR,
yeah.
Are you looking at it now and you're like, God.
Yikes.
That's
got to be a fun job.
Yeah.
Having those conversations.
Real exciting.
Well, whether you're listening today, tomorrow, both days, we have a lot of fun stuff coming up for you. So stick around.
We sure
I'm going to give it to Michaela right now before I mess anything else up.
Nope.
And why don't you give us some news on the beat?
You're perfect. All right. So Jacob Blake, who was paralyzed after a white police officer, Rustin Shesky, shot him in the back 7 times in front of his children, who was watched on in Kenosha. His cousin, Elliot Chavitz, spoke at a rally about the culture of fear black people are forced to live under due to racism and police brutality. But the only words that hateful bigots heard were, "I am a trans male," though his stirring words were met with applause from the crowd that had assembled. A live stream of the rally was tainted by transphobic comments and even death threats. Elliot did respond, saying, "My instinct when I saw these comments was not doubt for myself, but doubt for the nation." It's unfortunate that he was going to stand behind his cousin Jacob Blake during Black Lives Matter, and he can't even be supported properly because he's a trans black male.
Could you imagine how exhausting it must be to hate everybody all day, every day?
It's just too much.
I would never want to live in that world.
It's just not worth it. All right, well, another story where we are hoping to find justice is that there was a really sad story. Two Compton men are facing criminal charges of robbing and assaulting 3 transgender women in Hollywood last month. The attack of Eden Estrade, Jasmine Bousinet, and Jocelyn Allen were captured on video and live streamed as it was happening. Passerbys allegedly laughed at the victims. That's not allegedly. I saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
It was so difficult to watch. People were literally like taking photos of them, asking to like help them, and then hitting them in the head with a skateboard. It was awful.
Well, you gotta think Hollywood Boulevard oftentimes is mostly tourists.
Yeah.
And for many of these tourists, to see a trans person, it might be the first time in their lives. They don't see them as humans.
Yeah, it's so sad. Well, listen, they could be, the assailants were Carlton Alexander Calloway and Davion Anthony Williams. They could be facing between 8 to 13 years in prison if found guilty, which I actually think that they will.
Yeah.
So that's good. Another fatal police shooting of a black man has drawn protests also in Los Angeles. LA County Sheriff's deputies fatally shot 29-year-old Dijon Kizzy during a confrontation Monday afternoon in South LA. Kizzy's family is calling for the officers involved in the shooting to be publicly named and arrested. In Portland, Oregon, where protests have been going on for 96 straight nights, Mayor Ted Wheeler has called on the community to end the senseless violence.
That's commitment. 96 nights.
96 nights. All right, you guys, and better news, funnier news. We are all obsessed. You've seen the challenges of WAP, Cardi B, and Meg Thee Stallion. And somebody has taken on their own TikTok challenge, none other than British composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, 72 years old, posted his remix of WAP to his TikTok account and captioned it, "Phantom of the Wapra," featuring the man himself. But critics are already losing their mind. They said that the Cats creator has left them screaming and craving death, with one Twitter user writing, "As soon as he started playing Baby the Way I Threw My Phone, ban TikTok immediately." Listen, Trump might not be the only one trying to ban TikTok anymore. Andrew Lloyd Webber could be the one to take us down.
Don't
not
let
even
it be
not
true.
In China now. Now it's Andrew. After all the work you've done, it's your fault. We can't play WAP, but if you want to check it out, you can go to his TikTok. It's very funny. And insane.
Don't forget Jesus Christ Superstar and Joseph Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I mean, there is more than just Cats. Let's try to forget Cats this year.
It's 2020, unfortunately, and we're talking about Phantom of the Wapra, and he's really let a lot of people down.
Fair enough.
So, thank you. Let's get into weather. It's 84 in St. Louis, 80 in Pittsburgh today, 91 in Norfolk. It'll be 89 in Sacramento. Oh, my God. A high of 89 in Puerto Vallarta. It's still on my phone.
I miss it.
I miss it too. And 78 in Buffalo with a lot of rain. Now give us a vibe of the day.
I think you should just start picking out one random city every day.
You want me
from
to?
Like somewhere in the world.
Okay.
Just so people know.
Yeah, because I don't have enough to do. I'll make sure to get on that.
Personal development is the belief that you are worth the effort, time, and energy needed to develop yourself.
I love that. That's amazing. All right. Well, speaking of self-worth, it is breaking news that came out only this morning. Rihanna is finally talking about her relationship with Chris Brown and where they stand on Oprah's podcast. We have that audio coming up next.
So 2009 seems like an eternity ago, but one of the biggest stories of the year was the Rihanna Chris Brown story.
It was huge.
The physical assault in the car on the way to, was it an award show they were heading to?
And it was after the award show, they had a really big night.
The photos were just gut-wrenching. People dragged Chris Brown. To be honest, his career has not recovered since. Hers has skyrocketed. She has an empire now, a makeup empire, Fenty. Her music is still bomb. But she went on Oprah Winfrey's podcast this week, and she revealed some things about her relationship with Chris Brown and what was actually going through her mind at the time that kind of shocked me, because it's so easy, I think, for us to just draw an opinion based on, obviously, any sort of physical abuse is wrong, period, end of sentence.
Yeah.
But there is more to the discussion, and Rihanna sort of goes there with Oprah. She talks about being hurt on a global level. I'll let you listen to her, and then we'll discuss.
I was hurt the most. Nobody felt what I felt. Like, so it was...
You were hurt the most because it happened?
It happened. It happened to me. Mm-hmm. And it happened to me in front of the world. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. It was hurtful. You know, it's not easy.
You know, you can hear the pain in her voice. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I first heard that story, I was like... You get rid of him. It is inexcusable. There's nothing you can do. That's it. And then you watch 11 years later. She's still single. Mm-hmm. And she's still very raw about this situation.
And has not had a love like him since.
No. And now, having been in love twice in 11 years, truly in love, mm-hmm. really deeply with Lisa, my partner,
mm-hmm.
The love doesn't go away even when bad things happen.
Yeah.
Not that Lisa and I have ever been physical, mm-hmm. but, you know, we've had our fights, of course. We've had talks of breaking up, as couples do,
you
or
say
don't.
Really, you not say you, but things. Mean, we all do in moments.
But then you say, oh, God, love is so difficult and hard, and it is layered.
Is it possible to come back from physical abuse? Because especially if it's a man to a woman, we always, always say, get out, move on. And I think, at least in the immediate aftermath, that is the best choice. But is it possible?
Can you grow in 11 years?
Yes. Is it possible that Chris is a different person now? And is she allowed to accept him for whoever he is?
The old me would have said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
The new me, having been through my own things, I think that he absolutely could.
Yeah.
I think what the problem is, many women and men don't feel... the growth of 11 years that I have just in my own emotions and feelings. Maybe it's not growth. Maybe I don't know what it is.
Well, it's also, is it a letdown to other girls if she would go back
to
him?
Well, the problem is I think it would be a huge letdown. She's been dragged before for just being friends with him. And she is a beauty guru now. She's a billion-dollar owner of Fenty, of Savage Beauty.
Yeah.
She would lose a lot of her money, I think.
Is it possible that... forgiveness and his rehabilitation could be a more powerful story if they were to someday, let's say, get back together?
Is
that, is it possible that could be the message people could take away, or do you think they would just drag her?
I mean, we're still fighting cancel culture. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but 4 years ago, she was photographed talking to him, and then the rumors started spreading.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, they're back together, Rihanna, how could you do this? You're the worst for women.
Well, she still talks to him because apparently she still has feelings for him. Take a listen.
We've been working on our friendship again, and now we're very, very close friends. We built a trust again, and that's it. Like, we love each other, and we probably always will. And that's not anything that we're going to try to change. It's not something you can shut off if you've ever been in love.
Are you seeing each other again?
No. He's in a relationship of his own. Mm-hmm. I'm single, but we have maintained a very close friendship ever since the restraining order has been dropped. We've just worked on it little by little.
Ooh, Oprah asked the question.
I feel like it makes me emotional, though, because you can hear in her voice how emotional it is. And then I want you to think about this. 11 years ago, you're madly, madly in love with your twin flame, your soulmate, let's say. And he brutally, like,
you
beats you up.
Twin flame?
Uh-huh.
I like that.
Yeah. No. And he brutally attacks you. And it was brutal. Her face, she was unrecognizable. Yeah. And then in the 11 years, not only are you having to reel with that in the public, but he goes on to have two children by two different women. Mm-hmm. And then you got to deal with that too. Like,
well, that's the part
that's
of it that makes
a big deal.
That's the part of it that makes me feel like there's still some psychological damage done to her that maybe she hasn't even fully processed yet. If this man has gotten two other women pregnant, now he's with another woman dating somebody else, he's been doing God knows what, and she's been single primarily most of this time and still says she's in love with him, that's where my pause comes from.
And I wish that it was flipped. He should have stayed single for 11 years.
Yeah.
He should have kept...
That to me would have said maybe he has learned and he does want you back and you're worth waiting for.
But also he's had a lot of... And listen, Chris Brown, you cannot take his artistry away from him.
So talented.
I think he's so talented. But he's also had a lot of outbursts in 11 years. You're now up with two...
Yeah, 2009 was not the last time he did something that got...
Yeah. Two baby mamas, not been single... Lot of outbursts. And then you see Rihanna really still at the height of her.
And like you said, you
career.
Hear it in her voice.
Oh, it made
it
me.
Still
it
impacts
makes
her.
Me cry. I was like, oh, God, no. It's so sad. It's really sad. So I'm happy that she was very candid about it.
Yeah.
I hope it's a lesson, but it's really sad. I'm sorry, Rihanna.
I'm with you on that.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up in better news. Well, I don't know if it's actually better news. Restaurant owners that rely on outdoor dining amid the coronavirus pandemic will soon be facing a new obstacle. Find out what we're talking about coming up next.
Tell me something good.
Michaela Gordon, I'll tell you something good.
Tell me something great.
I'll tell you two good things. You tell me one.
Fine.
I'll start off.
Go ahead.
Let's head to Grand Prairie for just a moment. Oftentimes, our senior citizens they're just overlooked, right? They move into a senior living facility. We've seen these facilities across the country and around the world get hit so hard by COVID-19. Well, two gentlemen in Grand Prairie decided to do something to lift their spirits, at least for a day. There is a flower truck that goes out. It's called Gypsy Bloom's Flower Truck. And owned by Jolene Wilsey. Now, this goes around. You can buy flowers from it, bouquets, pre-made bouquets. They can make them for you. It's basically a flower shop on wheels. So these guys decided to put their money together and buy out the entire truck for the day, had it driven to a senior living facility, and let senior citizens pick their flowers and make their own bouquets for absolutely free. These pictures are so adorable. All these little old ladies, couple gentlemen, and their little walkers.
That's so sweet.
Picking out the perfect flower combinations to make bouquets and take back to their rooms.
That's
just
so
made
sweet.
Their days.
My favorite flowers and my grandma's favorite flowers were star lilies. And
you have
so,
them in your home all the time.
And so I buy them every week for her. But they used to make her so happy. And they do. They make me really happy. They smell good. They brighten it up.
They might be my new favorite too. I used to love calla lilies. Calla lilies.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my favorite. But the star lilies, after going to your place, we were recording from your home for a while early on in the pandemic. And I fell in love with them.
They're so beautiful, right? Yeah. I love that. All right. Well, I fell in love with this story. Now, you know the artist Banksy.
Of course.
The artwork is amazing.
Wild, controversial.
Yes. Yeah. We've never known who he was. I didn't even know that it was him until recently. Well, he bought a rescue boat to help refugees cross the Mediterranean. And the boat is amazing. And it's in all pink and it says rescue. And it's a little girl holding like a life
vest or life preserver?
Like but in the shape of a heart.
Aww.
And it was amazing because last year, the artist stepped up his involvement by funding the Louise Michelle rescue boat.
Cute.
And it was great because he sent a message to Pia Klemp, who's in charge of the several of the NGO boats. And he said, hey, I've been reading the story in the papers about you. You sound so great. I'm an artist in the UK. I've made some work about the migrant crisis. I obviously can't keep the money. Could you use it to buy a new boat or something? Let me know. She said, yes, they've linked up. And now they're helping save people.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't a trick. Usually this stuff is like just temporary and all of a sudden it like blows up, or like the piece of art is shredded through a paper shredder. I'm glad he didn't like accidentally just sink the boat as like a statement or something. That would have been the horrible turn of events.
That would have been awful.
Why is my mind so weird and twisted?
I don't know.
All right. Well, in some of the best news I've ever seen in my life. So a couple weeks ago, there was a decision to keep a controversial Confederate monument outside of Lake Charles, Louisiana Parish Courthouse,
yeah.
Right? There's a long, protracted battle. Local officials voted to keep the statue up. On Thursday, though, it was a few days ago, hurricanes went through the area. Hurricane Laura, a female.
Go, girl.
Like, that's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Toppled the Confederate statue.
Come on, Laura.
Literally 2 weeks after they decided to keep it, this thing was all the way to the ground. And look, the Lord works in mysterious ways, my friends. And if that isn't the Lord's work right there, I don't know what is.
That's
all
true.
The way down in Louisiana.
I love
there's
it.
There's no space for these
Go
statues.
Go ahead, Laura.
Get rid of them.
Crazy girl.
If you guys can't get it right with your votes,
we will.
Let the universe step in.
Yes. Well, that's the end of our show. As always, thank you to Samuel Garrett-Pate for joining us. Of course, we'll have a great conversation tomorrow. It's Therapy Thursdays.
And we've also got some really wild HR audio.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. You know, we're inappropriate.
And
so we've got to really practice.
We might not make it through the day.
Maybe not. Yeah. But you know what? They can't fire us. You know why?
We're gay.
Yep. That's it. So that's all you need to know. Have a great day. Wear your masks. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.